We are the Fisher Body Historical Team, and today we are interviewing a neighborhood establishment. We're going to interview Clayton Stevens, and he is the commander of the VFW 6132 post. Clayton, would you please tell us your name and spell it?
Clayton Stevens, C-L-A-Y-T-O-N. S-T-E-V-E-N-S.
Thank you. And where do you live? What is your address?
348 South Elger Street, Lansing.
Okay. And would you tell us a little bit about how long you've been with the post and what is your position here?
I'm the commander and I've been here 16 years. I've been the commander for 13 years.
This tape is going to be heard, and the information will be used by students. Could you tell me, a lot of people, youngsters, may not even know, what is the VFW?
The VFW stands for Veterans of Foreign Wars. We help disabled veterans, veterans on active duty, including the National Guard, and we provide guidance to them for their health insurance, life insurance, and just about anything that they need.
This particular post, it has a name, and can you tell me a little bit about that?
The name is Douglas McDonald, VFW. Douglas McDonald was a pilot in World War II. And he was the one that started the post about 85 years ago.
Okay, thank you. And again, would you share the address of this post?
3104 West St. Joseph's, Lansing, Michigan.
How far would you say it is from the Fisher Body plant from here?
I would say probably between a half and three-quarters of a mile.
So fairly close.
Yes.
Would you tell us about, one, did you live in a neighborhood nearby the Fisher Body plant?
Yes, I have.
Okay, would you first share a little bit about that? Did you raise a family here?
Yes, I have two daughters that I raised here in Lansing. On Muskegon Street, which is just maybe a mile and a half from Fisher Body.
Can you tell us, please, what did Fisher Body mean to you growing up, and what did you do for a living first?
Well, I was in heating and air conditioning, and we were subcontractors into Fisher Body doing air conditioning and heating work. This was back before they had their own people doing it. And We got a good many hours out of there.
So that had an impact on your livelihood?
Oh,
raise your
yes.
Family?
It had an impact on the companies that I worked for, the subcontractors, like the plumbers and stuff. It had a big impact on it. So,
can you tell me what it was like to grow up by an automobile assembly plant? Was it... did you enjoy it? Was there things you didn't like about it?
No, I always enjoyed it. I didn't. It was a factory that employed people, and I never had no qualms about nothing on it. You go by there, and you could see the guys going into work, and it was part of the economy, and it never bothered me.
Okay.
Clayton, did you ever...
Marilyn Coulter.
Marilyn Coulter for the team. When you used to go into work in the factory, in the contractor job, did you ever have any interaction with any of the employees with inside the facility?
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell us
a little bit about that? The mechanics, we always, of course, you would have to be escorted into where your work area was. And we never had a problem. It was, we always talked, and I had a lot of friends in there that was in maintenance, mm-hmm. at that time.
Was the line ever going while you were there?
Oh, yeah.
What did you think about watching them build cars?
It was amazing because I had never been around anything like that before. But it was amazing how people, them cars can come down the line, and people doing different things, and all of a sudden the car comes out all put together at the other end. So. Mm,
that's cool.
Gary Judy. Didn't have a question there? Okay. I do want to say that at the start of the interview, I failed to mention where we're located and the date. Today is February 20th, 2006, and I failed to mention the members of our team. So if we go around the table real quick.
Gary Judy.
Earl Nicholson.
Cheryl McQuaid.
Marilyn Coulter.
And John Fiedelman.
And I'm Doug Rademacher. Thank you. As I look in here, I see that you have some military background. Can you tell us about that?
I was in the Navy for 10 years. You want what I done? I mean,
if you'd like to share it.
Well,
you are a commander here.
I was in the last atomic bomb test in 57, and my last tour was in Vietnam. And I was in a machinist mate aboard a ship that was heating and air conditioning. I enjoyed it, but I just couldn't take another 10 years to retire, so I just got out. I had a wife and family, and I came back to Lansing. So,
okay.
Oh, Gary Judy, what was your last year you served in the military?
What
year did you get out?
I got out in 67, March of 67. But there was a period between my first enlistment and second enlistment that I was here, you know, in Lansing. And then, you know, the gas crunch hit, remember that? And it wasn't, you know, all the plants were pretty well down, slowed up, so I went back into the military. So
did you belong to this VFW at that time when you came back from the military?
No, I belonged to 7309 in Mason, and they had some problems here, and a couple of the members came and asked me to come in and help them out, and I've been here ever since. So
you didn't, did you know any veterans from the plant, from the fishery?
Oh, yes, tons of them. So, because when I came here, there was, they would all stop in here either on the way to work or coming back from work. You know, and the guys that was on the night shift would come in because that's their day. They would have a quick one and then go home, and, you know, they was in and out all the time, so.
Do any employees stand out in your mind that you can think of from the plant?
Oh, yeah, there was Con Virgin, Kenny Lentz, who is still with Fisher Body, or wherever he's going next, he was with Fisher Body. Jerry Frisbee. And there's a couple more.
Doug Rademacher. Clayton, you mentioned Kenny Lentz. Has your experience with the positions you've held and the military background, did you have an opportunity to help any of the Fisher Body employees personally with either a problem they had, something to do with any of their benefits or things that, were you instrumental in anything that was going on?
Well, there was three or four of them we helped get medical benefits, but it's been quite some time back. I couldn't tell you their names, but Kenny could. I could, you know. Because, see, a lot of times, like, Kenny would bring them to here, and we would file a paperwork out. Some of them you'll see again, and some of them you won't, you know.
Well, I know that over the years, I've had some wonderful meals, and they were prepared right here in this facility.
Right.
Kenny Lentz, you mentioned his name. Could you explain what I'm talking about? Could you share that with the people listening today?
Well, on every Friday, we put out two meals. Fish is every Friday. The second meal could be hot pork, steak, or ribs. And Kenny, what he does is take orders from Fisher Body and calls them into us, and then we deliver them to Fisher Body. And go ahead. And he was, they just supported us beyond anything I can explain, you know.
Clayton.
Marilyn Coulter.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, how did that all come about as far as you delivering meals to Fisher Body? How did that go? Can you tell us about that process? You know, when did it start? How long had you been doing it?
Oh, well, for the last 16 years that I know of, how it got started, some of the guys from the main plant started coming in and asking us if we would could prepare the meals, you know, and get them to them. And that's how it started out. Then we, Kenny got it at Fisher Body, and it just kind of exploded, you know. And then we was doing some of their Christmas parties and stuff like that. They would ask us to send food down for them. So
is, am I right in understanding that you did a lot of the different General Motors facilities
area? We've done them all.
Okay. On an average, when you made dinners, how many dinners would you say you made, like for Fisher Body?
From Fisher Body?
On a Friday.
Anywhere from 80 to 125.
And so that's for Fisher alone. So for the site in total, did you do that for, did you pick different Fridays of which you fed the different facilities?
No.
Or you
we
did
fed
all
them
the facilities?
All at the same time.
So on, how
at
many?
7 o'clock at the main plant, we used to send 85 meals just at 7 o'clock at night.
Really? So you, both day and night you fed?
Yep.
Oh, outstanding.
No, I think that was at 10 after 7, and that's when we closed the kitchen. Mm-hmm. But we wouldn't close until that night shift was fed. So.
So,
Gary, Judy.
So what impact has the closing of Fisher Body had on you?
Well, not only in the meals. We're probably losing $150 to $180 a week, but the thing that we've missed the most, that we could go to the gates at the GM plants and sell poppies, which are for our disabled veterans. Because as you know now, you know, there's a lot of stores you can't stand out in front and sell them. And GM always backed us on that. They never give us a complaint, and that has dropped way off. In fact, before Fisher Body closed, I think they're usually sold in May, April and May, and we sold over $1,600 worth, and this year it was about $200 because Fisher Body was pretty well tore apart.
Do you still, there's still a couple of plants left open in the area. Do you still supply those plants?
What is it, the little
SSR truck?
Yeah, SSR truck. We don't get orders from them. Sometimes we'll get an order from the stamping plant, is it? The
yes.
metal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
How about the Lansing Grand River?
The Cadillac. We're averaging anywhere from 15 to 40 meals down there on a Friday. And now last Friday we started getting some orders from the Delta plant. So
okay.
I don't know.
That's great.
Well, we're hoping to increase that for you. I see here that you were born in Onaway, Michigan. How long did you live there?
16 years.
16 years.
And then I come to Lansing.
I hate to ask, but how old are you? And what,
67.
And what year did you leave there then?
Oh, God. Well, take 39, put 16 to it, that would be
55. Okay. There happens to be a place just outside of Onaway, Michigan, called the Black Lake UAW Educational Center. Are you familiar with that at all?
Yes.
Do you still go back to Onaway?
Oh, yeah.
And
I'm one of the guys that put the air conditioning in up there. In fact, I was there when Walter Reuther died there, and they locked us right up. I mean, they locked the whole place down, but no, I helped put the air conditioning in up there.
Now, you just mentioned Walter Reuther. you say they shut it down. You were working there then?
Yeah, they locked the gates because I don't know what the deal was. They, you know, wasn't it a plane wreck or something?
Yes,
you
had a plane crash in Ottawa.
Yeah, they locked everything up. Well, it was in
Pelston,
I think, is where the plane came into. And my sister was going with his bodyguard, and they was both. But they did. They locked the place down until they made sure everything was okay.
Wow. So, did the with knowing about Ottawa, Michigan, does UAW have an impact up in that part of
it? Tremendous impact up there. They provided jobs up there that, when I was growing up, there wasn't nothing up there but cutting pulpwood and cedar boughs, and I'll tell you, it's made a huge impact up there. So
it's interesting that you were familiar with it in your childhood and you're growing up, and now you're still active with it in a different capacity, but it's still part of your life. Marilyn Coulter.
Since I am back on board, Clayton, what I wanted to know is, I'm still awed by the number of meals you used to make. How many people did it take to make the meals, and did you have to pay these people, or were they volunteers?
No, they were volunteers. Members would deliver. I cooked all the meals, and they would get together, and we would serve them out of the kitchen, and then the guys would deliver them. But I was the only cook.
You were the only cook. And so you have to get started cooking, like, at what time of day to do it?
Thursday. I start cooking on Thursday. See, what you do is, like, if you have ribs or chicken, you pre-cook them on Thursday, you know. And then that way they're fresh and ready to go on Friday, because there's no way you could start out from raw meat on Friday. And now the steaks, we always do them, right? We got a 6-foot grill out here, and I'd be out there cooking, and they'd be bringing them in here and putting them in the to-go trays. And once you get set up, it's not hard to do it.
Now, I see, as we're in the room, there's tables around here, and I see you have burgers on Thursday.
Right.
So do you also serve other people in the community here?
Oh, yes. Yes. And one thing we do is needy families or somebody that ain't got it, senior citizens and stuff, we deliver to them. And that's it. No charge. No nothing. So.
It was said earlier that we had a big impact on you, and that's quite a big impact with us leaving right now. How are you able to make it right now? How are you able to raise the funds to do the wonderful work that you do?
It's hard, but I'll tell you what, we've been blessed. For some reason, we're skimming by, you know. With Cadillac, had Cadillac went down, we would be pretty well, you know, dead in the water, really. And that's, you know, and without GM in this area, we would have never made it. And that's the God's honest truth.
Okay. Earl Nicholson.
So this is not considered a nonprofit. I mean, do you pay taxes on this building? You know.
No, we don't pay. We pay a sales tax and all other taxes, but the property tax, we have to pay anywhere from $38 to $45 for your 911 and some other couple of things there.
So basically most of the money that you've taken in from the meals, you've turned around and
donated
back
out.
To
see,
the community.
See, that, the rule is you've got to expend at least 2/3 of your money that you take in back in community service. We have benefits for, well, we've done them for Make-A-Wish, individuals who have had cancer, and just if they're in need, we'll have a benefit for them. We get with, a lot of the guys from GM has donated, an item to raffle off and stuff like that, and that's how you do it. So,
Gary, Judy, do you get any federal funds or from the headquarters, VFW headquarters?
None
it's
whatsoever.
All local funds.
It's all local supporting.
So GM does have a very large
That's what I'm saying. There, it's just GM has just been outstanding, you know.
Earl Nicholson, is it possible that you guys would consider moving closer to our factory, to the new factory in Delta?
The post is governed by the membership, and if that's what the membership wanted to do, they would do it. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it takes the majority, you know, to vote for that.
Okay.
But that would be up to them. Yeah.
Is this, Doug Rademacher, Clayton, is this particular building paid off?
Yes.
So it would not be advantageous to put it up for sale and try to find property be out there because of the cost of property out there is outrageous.
Yeah, cost of property, if there ain't something going up there that's related to GM, it's going to be expensive. So, yeah.
Now, Clayton, you said that GM has been a great help to this, but is it GM itself? Do they donate, or is it the United Auto Workers and the members?
No, it's the United Auto Workers. For the last 2 years, the United Auto Workers have donated enough money through the food, in tips, through the food, to provide the Christmas and Easter, Halloween, all the parties for the kids. And that money all came from the UAW members that work at GM. And like I say, then when we're allowed, when we sell poppies without them, I mean, it's a big drop. You can't believe it, you know. So, and that's what you have to do to support the post and the disabled vets is within poppies and donations and stuff like that. See? So,
Clayton, I've lived here in Lansing since I was 5 years old. That's 41 years now. I've driven by this place. Not being a veteran, I didn't know anything about it. I see you've got like a watchtower out front.
Yeah.
And I've seen rallies and things that were conducted. Can you talk about what you've done as far as rallies here? And have you made walks on the Capitol? And again, do our members participate in such things?
Your membership participate, but we have never marched on the Capitol. We just do our own little marches around to make people aware of it. But we like to stay away from the political side of it. You know, do it, make things known what you're trying to do, but don't go messing up with the political, you know, it's just not a good idea, or we don't think it is, you know.
So just try to get public support, but not
right.
To make...
See, now, one way we do it, is we support the Cub Scouts, Little League Baseball, and all of the people that's involved in that, when they're in here, we explain everything, what we do and what the tower stands for. And, of course, the sign out there on Agent Orange was prevalent in Vietnam. You know, a lot of guys got poisoned from it, you know, because they was sprayed on the jungle to kill leaves and stuff, but that's so well known anymore that you know, it pretty well speaks for itself. And you'll hear about Agent Orange or something on the TV at least twice a month, you know. And
were you directly impacted with Agent Orange?
No, not that I'm aware of. I mean, unless it come in with the helicopters or something like that, I wouldn't.
You said you spoke earlier when I spoke to you to line up the interview. You mentioned talking to a friend of yours that has another business in this area. Obviously, he'll have his own story, but can you share what other business owners have shared with you about the closing of the Fisher Point?
Oh, you're talking about...
Gus.
Yeah, Gus is a good friend of mine, and he comes in here, and he's just going crazy because his business has dropped off so much. First he's going to sell, and then he's going to stay open. And it really has. And another one, not the Shop Stop, but the...
Westgate.
Westgate. Their business has dropped off. Well, and I'm sure Harry's has dropped off, had to have dropped off. And then over on Willow, there,
Willow Bar
with the pizza. I mean, everybody in that area is just devastated over it. It is. It's, you know, they're having a hard time. So now I talked to the guy from the,
Irish pub.
And his business has dropped off. Everybody in this area has dropped off. So.
Well, you know the Fisher plant closed, and you grew up here. What's the feeling about the talk of the plant being leveled? Does that do anything to you?
Yeah, I'll tell you. To see that building come down, I don't know, it's taken away from the history of Lansing. Honest to God, I would rather see it renovated or something and let that building stand, but maybe it'll never happen. So I really think people are too worried about what's going to happen to it. It's not hurting anything there. And if it's a part of Lansing, it's just there.
Earl Nicholson.
I believe that they were talking about preserving at least some part of the older structure.
Yeah.
I'm not completely sure of that, but that's something that I had heard.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'd like to see that. Honest to God, it might be just me, but it's just so much of Lansing. You know, when they renovated downtown there on Grand, you know, the main plant, that was, you know, it's just parts of Lansing that's coming up missing that you don't see anymore, you know. And you drive around the city and there's too much of that. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy. I don't know.
Oh, I doubt that. Clayton, Lansing has been called the capital of quality, and you've worked inside that facility helping with the air conditioning and subcontracting. Do you have any idea, in your opinion, why would Lansing be called the capital of quality?
Well, I think it's the UAW members that's putting these cars together. I think anything that was derogatory about GM came from their design and not the way that the product was put together. You know, such as a diesel engine. That was, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the way the cars were assembled has always been top-notch, you know.
Earl Nicholson.
So what, my question is, when people ask you about Lansing, I mean about the cars that are made in Lansing, you know, you generally have good things to say about it?
Oh, yeah. Right, I do. I mean, if you go back, the cars, like I said, are built top quality. It might be an error in design or something that's, if there's something wrong with the vehicle, I mean, that's, you know.
Good.
We appreciate that, and it's true. I believe the Lansing workforce is the best on earth, and if we're given the proper products
right.
and tools, we can build. We'll build and continue to build the top-notch product. You mentioned the plant. This is Doug Rademacher. You said you're starting to get some business at the Delta plant. Now,
yeah.
Fisher Body's closed, and the workers of Fisher Body have been blessed by their performance and quality and productivity to receive a brand-new assembly plant. It's worth $3.1 billion, and you said you're starting to deliver some meals there.
Yeah.
Tell me about the hopes for the future.
Well, I hope we get back where we're taking 100 meals out there a Friday. And you know, that's another thing. The UAW members that work at GM has just supported us so much, and we've never had a complaint on the meals, and you know, we're looking forward to it. And I think that if people will just slow down and look at the economy in Lansing, in the next year or so, you're going to see it booming again. I really do. So,
I think so, too. Cheryl McQuaid.
At one point, you said that you live on South Alger Street?
Yeah.
Do you live there now, or you used to live there?
Yeah, it's just around the corner here.
Yeah, it's right near the plant.
Yep.
Do many of your neighbors, were they GM employees, or...?
Yes, there's a lot of them. I know three of them ride bikes to work instead of...
How long have you lived at that address?
15 years.
15? Has much changed in the neighborhood in the 15 years you've lived there?
No, not really. No. Uh-uh. You know, everybody was... I don't know, the guys that worked at GM and everybody else just stayed put. They wasn't, you know what I mean? They didn't move. So, most of them, I only know of about six or eight rentals down in that area. Most of them have owned their homes for years, you know.
And did you notice any problems with the environment, the smells in the air, the paint?
No, and... I had a brother-in-law that lived right behind the party store down there right on Saginaw. And it was, you know, I never could detect this odor or whatever the environment they said it was. I'd been there for years, you know, and I'd been around Lansing, and I didn't actually know what they was talking about. No, honest to God, I didn't. I couldn't.
Marilyn Colton.
Clayton. I've been a life resident of Lansing also, and being in Lansing, there were certain smells, certain sounds that you heard. Living that close to a factory, I know that there are some who said the sound of the factory was almost like their bedtime music or anything. Were there any kind of memories that or sounds that you used to hear from the plant that you no longer hear anymore? It kind of makes it different for you?
Yeah, just everything. It's, you know, it's dead quiet. I mean, you know, there's just none, you don't hear the trucks taking off, you know, or nothing. It's just dead silent, you know. And when you drive by it, you can still see there, but it's just gone. You know, it would be like going to a housing project and they just have everybody move out. I mean, you know, and it's sad. It really is.
Earl Nicholson, it's like the ghost of Fisher Body. You drive by and there are just so many memories there.
Right, right. And why? I do hope they save part of that because, God, the memories that I had going in there and working and changing builders and working with the guys on the maintenance. And then I got to know the guys when they had the railhead out here. It was just fun. You know, it was enjoying. So,
Doug Rademacher. Clayton, when you were inside, I don't know how many years ago that was, but do you recall seeing robotics? Or did you see robots? And where in the areas where you worked, did you see things that were like you'd never seen before?
No, not really. Not robotics. I didn't, because that was back when... they was coming out with the smog controls and stuff, and before that, so I think about the only robotics I seen was a welder someplace in there where it would weld, but that was about it. You know, everybody was on the line putting it together. Great. And I don't like robots anyway.
Clayton, Marilyn Colter, you lived in Lansing and you've been inside. Did you ever own any of our products? And if so, which was, did we ever have one that you liked best?
I've owned Chevys and Oldsmobiles. I don't think there's any particular one that I like best. Mm-hmm. You know, because it was all good product.
All right, thank you.
So.
Okay. Go ahead, Earl.
So, I believe we're coming up on the close to the end of the interview here. We'll probably get into some of a little more personal questions.
Yeah.
You know, what would be your saddest moment concerning, you know, the Lansing area and Fisher Body for yourself? What would you consider your saddest moment over the last 15 years?
You mean up to now?
Yeah.
It's just seeing the plant done away with, or, you know, closed down because, and the sad, what's going to be sadder is, like I said, if they tear the building down. But, no, just to see the no activity in the building and no activity, you know, even the traffic around town is dropped way off. You know what I mean? The truck traffic and stuff like that. Now, maybe the normal people don't pay attention to that, but
I think that in the community, I think we all feel it. And she's a good old girl under that old building, and it's a shame to see her to be torn down like this. But there were a lot of really good memories to come out of there. Could you tell me what would be one of your happier moments?
I don't know if there's one particular moment. I always felt good and happy when I drove by there and everybody was working, you know, and I, like I said, I used to do work in there. I was elated when I had to go over there and work, you know what I mean? Because the camaraderie was just amazing, you know. So,
Doug Rademacher, Clayton, was there a particular fundraising event or something that stands out above all else where it was such a great success that you recall that one was special?
Yes, when we had the fundraiser for Make-A-Wish, that was right there. We put it on, but because 701 VFW is a lot bigger, we put it on over there. We done all the cooking, took everything over there, but the UAW support from that was just, it's just amazing, you know. And then we had one veteran here that lives up in the UP, and he really had Agent Orange, you know, the diseases from Agent Orange. And again, UAW members and everybody got together and donated stuff, and it was just a huge success. And that's what kind of hurts now. It isn't so much the business, but the guys, you don't see them familiar faces much anymore. You know, if they're in town, you know, the ones that's laid off and stuff, or they're not in town, you don't see them as much. So, that.
Well, Clayton, it's been wonderful interviewing. I'm going to ask, is there anything you'd like to share that we haven't asked of you? You got anything you'd like to share? Is there maybe a closing comment you'd say to a student that might be reading this someday or listening to this CD? What would you say to young people? What's your closing message?
I guess it would be to listen to these tapes and study the history of Lansing and drive around some of the areas that's being closed down now and look, you know, what it was about, where it started, because the automobile industry has kept Lansing going for years, and there's so much history here that the young people can learn from. You know, how it got started, and the little companies that was around GM, you know, that are now gone. And I guess you can call it progress, but in some cases it isn't progress, you know. That's the only thing I would tell them, you know, get into it and study it and see what Lansing is all about, you know. We've always taken a back seat to Detroit because they got a bigger airport and all that stuff, but this is where it was at. The automobile industry was here.
That's a beautiful story. Appreciate all you've done. And anybody else? Well, thank you very much,
Clayton. Thank you, Clayton.
Thank you.
Thank you.